Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. It is Monday, March the 5th, 2018. We'd like to welcome you even to the broadcast and to our program tonight. I'd like to thank everyone who's joined us tonight at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr, and all the brothers have called in at 646-668-2636. I pray all is well with you and your family. We have a lot going on tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about a faith that's worth dying for. I want to share some insights with you, and of course, I encourage you to join the conversation. If you called in at 646-668-2636, just press 1 on your keypad. You can share your insights, your wisdom, and your thoughts on our topic tonight, and just share with us. You can always reach us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, at Twitter, at Issues Men's Talk at Twitter, and you can always inbox us there, reach out to us there. Well, we have a couple of announcements coming up this evening for some upcoming events and something else we're doing for 2018 for the next several weeks. We're going to do a Bible study and some so to encourage you. Again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we take this opportunity to reach out to the brothers, reach out to men to encourage them to be leaders in their home, leaders in the church, and leaders in their community. And just encourage men, whoever they're struggling with, whatever issues they're dealing with, that God has an answer, that the Word of God is the blueprint of our lives and has all the answers that we need. If we just search out to Him through His Word, through prayer, and through obedience to the Holy Spirit, we can find the solutions, we can find the direction, we can get the vision for God, why God created us, what He created us for, and our purpose in this life on this earth. Amen. Amen. We're going to go into a short musical interlude, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to jump right into the conversation. Amen.
Let's go together into the inner place, into the holy of holies. Let's receive them.
Amen, amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to cover the scripture tonight. We're going to cover 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28, and we're going to read verse number 9. 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, and verse number 9. And the word of God said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Father, today we say thank you to God. Thank you, Lord God, for spiritual knowledge, God. We thank you for a heart to serve you, O God, to serve you, to be obedient disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the willingness of heart, God. to be faithful and obedient to your word and to your direction and to your commands, Lord God. Father, we seek you, God, in all things, God. We continue to seek you, God, for the needs of our life, for the temporal needs, the physical needs, the material needs, and the spiritual needs of our life, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, read our hearts, search our hearts, God, that we might know who you truly are, God. Speak to our hearts, no matter whatever our heart condition is, Lord God. I ask that you would touch us right now, God. Touch me, Lord God, for the failings and shortcomings, Lord God, that I might be a better man today, O God, than I was yesterday, that I'll fulfill the purpose and plan that you created me for, that you put me on this earth for, God. I pray for my brothers today, Lord God, that they will come to know who they are, their destiny, O God, in you, their purpose, O God, why they were created, O God. As husbands, fathers, and sons, God, we fulfill the call on our lives. But continue, God, to keep your promises to those who seek you, Lord God. And we say thank you. God, we will not forsake you, God. We will not deny you, Lord God, because we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue to strengthen us, watch over us, and prepare us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Again, I want to thank the brothers who called in tonight on the phone line. We see you there. Again, if you would like to join the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad. You can be part of the discussion tonight to share your insights. We have a couple of announcements here I wanted to share real quick of upcoming events. And one of them is the Maryland Center for Veterans Education and Training. They're having a stand down at the Baltimore War Memorial Building, 101 North Gay Street in Baltimore, Maryland, on June the 2nd and June the 3rd. From 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We can connect with the homeless vets who just transitioned out, provide some services and some benefits for them, connect them with some of the services and benefits for them in the community, with housing, employment training, Social Security, medical, the veteran benefits through the VA, driver's license, IDs, legal help, personal hygiene. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to provide free meals for the brothers and those who have served, not also brothers, but all the veterans. I say brothers, but for all vets, it's open to all vets. Again, it's a military stand down for homeless veterans on June the 2nd and June the 3rd of 2018 from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can reach out to the Maryland Center for Veterans Education and Training by calling 410-576-9623. Amen. Also, we have the Open Hands Food Pantry, sponsored by the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church in Pasadena, Maryland. The pantry is located at 2322 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland. The phone number is 410-437-0137. And if you're in the Baltimore, D.C. area and you need a food pantry in your zip code or in your neighborhood, just give the church a call. There's a network of pantries here in Maryland, and they'll be able to connect you with the network and be able to find a pantry in your neighborhood. Because no one should go hungry in America today. Families, women, children, single families, and there's food out there. There's food available. So no one's cupboard should be bare. No one's refrigerator should be empty. And this pantry is open every second and fourth Saturday of the month. They have fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and most weeks they have meat available. Ground beef, turkey, whatever you eat, chicken, sausage. So we encourage you to come out, reach out to them so that your cupboards will not be bare, because God will provide. Amen. 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 All right. Also, I'm going to go real quick. I'm going to talk about this some more later on in the broadcast, but I'm going to get it in early. We are doing an online, we're trying something new here for 2018. On the Issues Christian Men's Facebook page, every Wednesday, we're doing a weekly Bible study. We're working out of the book, The Man Who Makes a Difference, 7 Bible Studies in Ephesians for Men by Tony Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. And every week on Wednesdays or Thursdays in midweek, we're going to be posting things on our Facebook page, different questions from the 7 chapters from the 7 Bible studies. We encourage you to hook up, link up with us there on Facebook. And we're posting some of the questions that are part of the Bible study. And this last week, we posted there, the scripture was Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. And after reading those and studying that scripture, it says, what are the different characteristics of this walk and lifestyle? How do we see these problems in society in the life of men that you know in your own life? And if we're living this way, who is our leader, guide, and main influence in our life? So we can look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and these are some of the questions we're asking. You can always go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. And again, we're going through some of the questions from a book, a Bible study that I do recommend for everyone to get and go through with your son, with your father, with your uncle, with your brothers in the church, and take time to sit down and discuss the things, the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, how it applies to our lives, how it makes it relevant to our lives, to who we are as men. Again, The Man Who Makes a Difference, 7 Bible Studies in Ephesians for Men by Tony Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. So we encourage you to link up with us on Facebook. You can inbox us there if you have any questions, you want to share some insights into the Bible study or into the Scripture. So we encourage you to do that. We just want to reach out and make these opportunities available. Amen? Amen. So next, this coming Wednesday, we'll be on Chapter 2, and we'll be starting there. So you can join us there, and you'll see what plan we have to update and go through. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we want to talk about, is your faith worth dying for? For those of you who know in your calendar, this is March 2018, so we're going into our next big holiday is Resurrection Sunday or Easter or whatever title you want to call it by, but it's the recognition of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to get into that as we closer and closer. We'll have more discussion about the Holy Week, his crucifixion, his death, his trials, all those things that led up to him in that one, that last week on earth that he walked as a man and then was killed and then was placed in the tomb and rose on the third day. But tonight we want to talk about our faith. What is our faith look like? What is it worth dying for? You know, we use the cross in the Christian church. We have the cross as a symbol of our faith sometimes, and we all have gold crosses. We have crosses in our churches, crosses around our necks, crosses on our cars. But we have to understand what the cross really means. The cross is represented, especially in the first century church, in that time in history, in human history, the cross was the representation of death, of dying, of it was a punishment. This crime penalty, it's a death penalty. It's like it would be like for us today wearing an electric chair as a medallion around our neck, or we know we have chemical. We have chemical-induced death penalties now in some states in the United States, or in some states still have on the books as hangings. And you know, if you wore a hangman's noose loose around your neck, gold-plated hangman's noose, some strange looks. But to the first-century church and to those in the first century, in the Book of Acts, if they saw the cross, the sort of crosses and how we celebrate it and lift it up, they would be in awe by all, because that represented a death penalty. That represented execution, that represented the brutality of Rome and the civil government, killing its prisoners, those for all kinds of different effects, and then also doing the persecution of the church. Christians were hung on crosses just because they professed the name of Christ. Amen? But today we're going to talk about, is your faith worth dying for? And tonight I'm going to come to the prospect, are we willing to die to self? The concept of dying for ourselves is found throughout all of the New Testament. And it's essential. It's an essential theme for Christian life. When we talk about dying to ourselves as part of being born again, that our old self dies and our new self comes to life through Christ Jesus, through the washing of his word, through the transformation, through our submission. That when we cross over from death to life, when we cross over from dead, unbelieving soul, sinned by the sin of Adam, and then come to faith in Christ, we crossed over to life, a new life, and we're a new person. We're born again. And if we're not born again, then we have not really come to salvation. If we have not changed our thinking, the way we see it, and who we are and how we see things and how we see the Word of God, how we see who Christ is, it's not so much our lip service, but are we willing to die to self, that now his will is our will, and that we're submitting unto what God says. And I say this for those out there, I know I have my great theologians out there and brothers who study, but again, this is something we all have to look at in Scripture for ourselves. Read for ourselves, pray for ourselves, come to the understanding and figure and then determine who are we living for and who and what are we dying for and what are we dying from. Because Christ's death, again, on the cross, his shed blood was for our salvation, for our redemption, and for our reconciliation back unto God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance with Christ. And to know that we know we're living different. We're not consumed to this world. We're not consumed to the things of this world, and we just live a different kind of life spiritually. And in that spiritual change from the inside out, we will start to see it manifest on the outside, because we'll change how we look, how people see us, how we behave. All of this submission unto Christ will change everything about us. And are we willing to die about and be different? No matter who we are and what we've done and where we come from and all the things that we may have accumulated and treasures and reputation, are we willing to die to all that to be known of Christ? When someone sees and knows of us, they know of Christ. They don't know of us. They don't know who we were and what we did. Because, again, if we look at Scripture, if we look at the Apostle Paul, all that he did as Saul, but yet God used him to write the New Testament, to evangelize most of Europe, most of Asia Minor, all the whole area in the book of Acts. He was sent out to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ because of what he believed, and died from himself, and him becoming that new person. How did that affect those around him, and how he spread the gospel? That some of us have heard the gospel because of Paul and what he's done. But again, as men of God, we have to look at ourselves and judge ourselves against the Word of God. And that's one of the things that I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, that we always discuss, is we could compare ourselves to the Word of God, not to each other. Because we as individuals, as human beings, as husbands, fathers, sons, employees, employers, we all called for different purposes and different plans and different achievements and different successes, different failures. And we not all have the same tests, but we all have the same God. And we have the whole same spirit that will endure and get us through. There's people who go through what we've been through. There's people around us who've been through what we're going through. But that comes through the fellowship and connecting to Christ. But yet we are still different. And we're called to walk this thing out in obedience. So are we willing to die from self? What things are we not willing to let go to? Every man has to search his heart and understand. Does he want to be different? Does he want to continue to die to self daily? Because that's a process. Again, I'm going to use a couple words here for my theologians and my mature saints. We talk about sanctification. That process is an ongoing process. It's not something that's done once. It's not a 7-week course, a 10-week course, 6-month program, year and a half Bible study. Sanctification is a lifelong daily process. It's not a one-time event. It's ongoing. Now, our justification, for those out there, we are justified through our faith in Christ. Now, when that comes, it may come when you walk down the aisle. It may come when you pray the sinner's prayer. It may have come in your living room, on your floor, in your bedroom, in your car. But when you came to that point of justification, that is a done deal. But the sanctification is an ongoing, lifelong process, because we're never going to get it all right here on earth. As long as we're walking, as long as we're breathing, we'll never get it right. Paul spoke about that no matter who he was, he never got it all together here on earth. And neither can we expect those around us or for ourselves. And with that fact in our heart and our minds, we can understand that we have patience and grace for other saints, for those in the church and outside the church, because they have not yet arrived. God is not yet done. But on the other side of that, we have to look at ourselves first, because we have to concern about ourselves, that we want to stand before God and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. So Jesus talked to his disciples a lot of different times in Scripture. He spoke repeatedly to his disciples about taking up their cross and following him. He made it clear that if they would follow him, they must deny ourselves. They must give up their lives spiritually. There's going to be some things that you're going to be as a Christian that you're going to stop. You're going to have to give up. It's spiritual, it's symbolically, even physically. If necessary, you're going to have to give up some things. You know, I was just talking to a brother earlier this evening about the persecuted church outside of America, outside of Baltimore. You know, the things we do here in America, in the Western culture, we call persecution, is not the persecution of other Christians just for the name of Christ are going through every day. Believe me, there's somewhere in the world today, this hour, someone is being persecuted for the name of Christ. They're giving their lives, the lives of their families. They're giving up homes and valuables and possessions because they chose the truth to proclaim the name of Christ, because their lives, they stand up for the gospel. And here us sometime in Western Maryland, we arguing over simplicities and doctrines of denominations and who's this and not that, but we are called to be, again, disciples of Christ and denying of ourselves and things that we're comfortable with. Because a lot of it comes to what we're comfortable with, what we enjoy. Well, that's even when it comes back to denominational doctrines. You know, some are raised Baptist, some are raised Methodist, some are raised Pentecostal, some are raised, I don't know, whatever, AME. And people argue over those doctrines, but yet we know that we have more in common than we are different. But then when the time comes to when they come to persecute the Christian, how many of us have a faith that's worth dying for? And in that, are we willing to die? What are we willing to give up for our faith that we can be salt and light in this earth, that we can be examples to those around us, those in our homes? Do we need to? What are we willing to sacrifice for our wives or for our children? What are we willing to sacrifice for the church's sake? Not more than just tithes and money, but what about our time? What about our free time? What are we doing in our lives? How much time in our lives do we actually spend in the things and disciplines of God? When was the last time, I hold myself accountable. The last time we shared the gospel with someone, shared it with a stranger. You know, family and friends is nice, but if you've been saved a while, you know, all your family and friends know you're already a Christian and you go to church. When was the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? We went out to evangelize the word of God to someone to let them know, to be able to disciple, to be able to mentor. Because evangelism is more than just sharing the gospel, handing out a tract, telling people Jesus loves them. But what are we willing to do with sacrificing our lives? Again, what are we willing to die? How are we willing to die to self? Or is our self-satisfaction, our self-comfort more important than the things of God? Because I know something I always hear, it's just Christian Men's Talk. We talk about men. We talk about ministry. We talk about pastors. If you would go to your pastor this week and asked if there was something you could do to help the church, I know many pastors will give you have something for you. He would not tell you to go to the don't worry about it. We don't need your help. I don't know many pastors that would say that. But there's opportunities, again, because God created each of us for his purpose. So when we talk about dying to ourselves, we're talking about giving up our lives and giving up our selfishness. Sometimes this is a prerequisite for being a follower of Christ. Who proclaimed that trying to save our earthly lives will result in losing our lives. You know, most of us who would give up our lives for his sake would find eternal life. If we would just give up our life, we would find eternal life. You know, Jesus said a lot about being his disciple, those who would follow him, that would sacrifice his life. But he said it in Luke, I believe it was Luke 14:27, he talked about you cannot be a disciple unless we're willing to sacrifice our lives. And that sacrifice is not necessarily death. Again, I say that. It's not necessarily giving up our life, but giving up the things in our selfishness, giving up the things that we like, giving up our comforts, or what are we willing to sacrifice for God's sake? That God might be glorified, that we might edify the body. What are we doing as Christians to edify the body? You know, I don't want to come off as a zealot or a super holy person. And, you know, we all go on vacations, we have free time, we have time where we can enjoy ourselves. But in the midst of all that, what are we doing in the service of God and of his people? What is Christ talking to you about? Well, it's as simple as, again, I'm going to go back to this because for 2018, we're going to go back to this about evangelism. Are we sharing the gospel with the unbeliever? Are we really sharing the gospel, the plain, unadulterated gospel? Not inviting people to events, and then, I mean, that's fine, and fellowships and dinners and all those things. But when we have the opportunity to have people in our circle, are we speaking the things of God? Are we telling them about the gospel? Are we telling them about sin and hell? Are we telling them about the choices they have to make between Christ and the world? Are we telling people who is Christ and who is God? We have to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, are we prepared to share the gospel? What kind of life are we living? Can we communicate and articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, something I learned a long time ago doing evangelism and going out and meeting in what we call cold street evangelism. Do you have your 3-minute gospel message or your 2-minute elevator gospel conversation? or your questions that would trigger a conversation with someone about their soul, about their salvation, about their spiritual health, or what they believe. Sometimes we have to listen, even in evangelism, we have to listen to where people are to be able to know where they are, to know how to answer or know how to talk to them or strike up a conversation to get them to think about it. Because, again, it's not about us bringing someone to Christ. It's about us planting seeds a lot of times to stir something up in a person that they might look for those things, those opportunities to find out more. And where we share, and then where can they reach us? Or do we invite them to, you know, to find out more? Even if we may not know the answers, can we lead them to someone who knows the answers? Amen. Amen. So you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and for 2018, Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So we encourage you to join us and come out and be part of the conversation and listen to us live. But you can go on www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr. Call in at 646-668-2636. Join the conversation, be part of the conversation, listening to the live broadcast. Also, when you go onto the website, if you look on the right-hand side, you can click on the follow button. You'll get an update when we have new broadcasts, when we have new downloads of programs. You'll get an alert so you can come in and listen to the program. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to continue what I'm talking about tonight. Is your faith worth dying for? We talked about baptism. And for those of us who know that baptism is a representation of our commitment as believers, it's a representation and symbolic of the dying. We are immersed in water, and we're raised up in water. We're buried in Christ, and we're raised up in new life in Christ. And this action comes from us being dunked in the water, being part of Christ's body and his death and resurrection. So it's all symbolic. So that's where that's where that symbol comes from. And we have to look back to it. We go back to the first century church. We go back to what the teachings and what it took to pull that first century church to be baptized publicly. That's our public example of being part of the body of Christ. And some folk had to do it at great jeopardy for their lives because they forsaked all things around them, all of the gods, all of the customs. They lost families and homes just for that simple act of baptism that we do today in the church. We do it as a symbol, as a representation. But for some folk, even today, again, that symbol of baptism, the people are forsaking a lot of things in their past and their family traditions to come to be followers of Christ. So Paul talked about it in Galatians, about dying to himself a lot, being crucified with Christ. And Paul talks a lot about living no longer for himself, but Christ lives in him. Paul's old life, you know, the propensity for sin and to follow the ways of the world, that he died to, and the new Paul was dwelling in a place of Christ who lives in and through him. And are you, as a man of God, living in, is Christ living in you and through you? Are you being led? Are you being obedient to what Christ said? And when we talk about obedience and knowing the will of God, I'm going to keep it simple for this, for my broadcast tonight, because there's a lot of Bible studies and readings and scripture studies we can do, but knowing the will of God comes through his word, and through being obedient to the Holy Spirit living within us. Because even without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't understand the word couldn't be relevant, the word couldn't penetrate our hearts, and it couldn't move us. So it's that being part of being, knowing that, and being submissive unto the word. The more word we know, the more word we're accountable for, the more word we're called to apply. The word of God talks about us being not just hearers of the word, but doers and application of that word. And it means that we must be able to die to ourselves and becoming. And when we talk about dying to self, I know we talk about death and dying is a dead thing, but that's not what that's what we're talking about. We're dying to the old sinful man that we were. We're dying to that old sinful nature, but we may be made alive in Christ and through his resurrection. And now that through him, we have a new life, a life that's pleasing to him, a life that means that we don't live a sinful life, sinful ways, sinful lifestyles. The our old self is put to death. Our old characteristics, our old reputation is dead. No matter who you were, hustler, liar, thief, womanizer, whore, arguer, blasphemer, I don't know, the modern words, if you cussed and fought and drank and womanized and you was a robber and a thief, a drug dealer, murderer, whatever, or you was a brawler. Every time you turned around, you were in a fight. You was a man that didn't treat his wife right, his kids right. You walked out on your kids, on your family, on your wife. That's the old man, coming to the things of sin. But now as a new man, that's not where you are. You've been made new. You've been renewed in your all sinful ways that you've been disengaged from. You now belong to Christ. And that sinful nature and those passions and desires have changed. Now your passions and desires to serve him and be obedient to those and to his word. Because all those things in Scripture tells us, those are the things that we used to be. And we know you no longer are. But now, is those things being manifest in your life? Do those who see you who didn't know you before you were saved, can they recognize any of your unsaved lifestyle in your present so-called saved life? Or do you still carry these characteristics? Are you still known as a liar, a cheater, and a womanizer, but yet you call yourself a Christian? You go to church every week. You're on a deacon board. You're on a minister in training. You're a minister. You're preaching. You're doing evangelism. But your life is a mess. You're living a double standard life, and you think God doesn't know because you have people flawed. What kind of man are you? Because, again, this is what we, when we say it, Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're dealing with those issues. Because sometimes it's not hard to change. Sometimes we revert back. Sometimes we have things that go on in our life that push us back over the edge, and we go back to what's familiar. But when we surrender to Christ, we become his disciple, and we die of that old self that we're never going back. That is where we start to be obedient to his word and living his word. Amen. Amen. Well, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m. And for 2018, moving forward, this is March on our third month. We're going Saturdays at 9 a.m. Saturdays at 9 a.m. So I encourage you to join us then and be part of the program. And tonight I just wanted to do a close out again. Is your faith a faith worth dying for? Is it worth dying of yourself to be different, to be the man of God, that the word of God then defines who you are in character, in your passions, in your choices, your desires, and your wisdom. So today is a day that we can choose. And in closing, I just want to remind everyone and those believers, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the church in Laodicea being lukewarm. Are you living a lukewarm life? Brother, are you living a lukewarm life? What are you doing? Are you being obedient to God, or are you just obedient to God sometimes? Are you obedient to God when you're around your pastor, when you're around church folk? But when you're living a lukewarm life when you're around unbelievers at your job, in the community, in your clubs, in social environments? Are you being salt and light wherever you go? Because for every man, we're called to edify the body, to do everything we need to do to edify the body and glorify God. So today, brothers, I encourage you, if no matter where you are in your walk, if you've been saved a year, 6 months, 1 week, 15 years, 25 years, if you were sitting in the back of the church, if you're on the deacon board, the trustee board, the elder, minister, whatever, I encourage you to check yourself, check your life, look to Scripture as your mirror, look to Scripture as your chalk line and the measuring stick for your life, and see where God has put you, where he's brought you to, and where he's going to take you. And I encourage every man to repent, ask forgiveness from God, and move on. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, I thank you for joining me tonight. Again, look on Facebook. You can connect with us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk at Facebook, or on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk at Twitter. And you can always get in contact with us by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Amen.